Hey, welcome back to Church Online. And yes, we are in the book of Jonah. Last week, we were in Jonah chapter 1 and verse 17, and it says this. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. So last week, what we really covered was how this great fish, some people question what that really was, but the Bible's clear on that. If you go to Matthew chapter 12, it was a whale. And then, if you look up the definition of whale, we found out that it said sea monster. So we went back to Genesis and we did a little Bible study and discovery that yes, this great whale, and it's mentioned in Genesis that God created, is a picture of sea monster. The definition would be dragon, leviathan. So yes, this great fish here in Jonah can picture the dragon, definitely picture the devil. We learned that through scripture last week. It was kind of fun. Then also last week, we seen that Jonah was in the belly of the fish. In this belly of the fish, and then he ends up crying out that he said, and out of the belly of hell in verse 2 of Jonah chapter 2. So we proved that last week too, because Jesus Christ went to the center of the earth, right? He was in the belly of the earth, and that's exactly where hell is at. And we're learning all this by comparing scripture with scripture. So Jonah 1, and we went to Matthew chapter 12, where it clearly says that Jesus died, was buried, 3 days later resurrected. And it says just like the prophet Jonah. And so we believe that Jonah also had a death and 3 days later was resurrected. A lot of people don't believe that, but we simply believe the Bible. So that was last week. I would like to pick up right with chapter 2. So what I'd like to do to start this thing off, there's only 10 verses in chapter 2. And what I really want us to see this week, there's a couple points we'll make throughout, but the big theme is I think we need to see that Jonah died for real. Like, this is a picture of even Jesus Christ dying and going to hell for us. But Jonah died a serious death. And so I hope we see a lot of Jesus today in Jonah chapter 2. And let's read verses 1 through 10, and then we're going to break it down. It says, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Notice it starts with the word then. So right, we end chapter 1. It says, a great fish swallowed him up. He was in that belly of the whale 3 days, 3 nights. Then, so see, Jonah died. And then when the Lord was going to resurrect him up, it says, Jonah prayed. He started doing business with God. Verse 2 says, and he said this, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell, cried I, thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward the holy temple, toward thy holy temple. The water compassed me about even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains, and the earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. Verse 7. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thy holy temple. Verse 8, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Then it ends the chapter with verse 10 saying, the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. So God, speak to us today. Use these verses to just confirm in us, Lord, what it looks like to rebel against you, the great depths that you'll go through to get us to where we need to be. I also pray, Jesus, that we see you, that we see a great picture of the sacrifice that you made for us. Amen. Okay, you ready? Jonah 2, verse 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Then Jonah prayed. So after, that's right, the fish swallowed him up 3 days, 3 nights, and it says, and then he prays unto the Lord. Do you guys remember Jonah, like in chapter 1 and verse 6? Do you remember the mariners? I mean, like, they're screaming out, man. They're wanting everybody pray to your gods, man. Pray to your gods. We gotta, you know, we gotta get rescued here. And so they tried to get Jonah to pray, and he would not. There's a verse in Psalms 119 that I would really like to read, man. This verse here, one reason I want to read this verse so bad is because this was actually the verse that was preached when I committed my life to Christ. I went to a church camp, and I grew up in church, and I'm a 15-year-old boy, and God got a hold of my heart using this passage. Psalms 119, verse 67, it says this, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word." So before affliction came, I did whatever I wanted to do. Once the consequences of my decisions started biting me, it made me cry out and turn to the Lord. We're seeing this in Jonah 1. He's praying unto the Lord God. He was running and rebelling, right? And now that this happened, he runs off, pays his own fare, but man, they threw him overboard. God prepared this great fish to swallow him up. And now all of a sudden, he's praying. You know, you'll also find this with the prodigal son story in Luke chapter 15. The prodigal son wanted to do his own thing, took his dad's money and did whatever he wanted to with his life. And one day, as he's eating the slop with the pigs, man, the Bible says, and the prodigal son came to himself. He finally got it. So here Jonah is, who died an awful death. And as God is bringing him back to life, he is praying and crying out to the Lord. He says, "I'm crying by reason of mine affliction." Let's deal with this just for a moment. Let's talk about affliction. You know, affliction, God uses affliction in our life. God uses it, and you know what he uses it for? So that we will cry out to him. I don't know, do you ever remember Tony Dungy, Coach Dungy? Used to, you know, coach the Colts years ago. Now he's an analyst, and he's a sports commentator for football. But he has a son that has a rare disease where he does not feel pain. And it's very sad. He said his son would often hurt himself and not even know it. And he said it just was so sad for him because most parents, your kids get hurt, they cry, they run to you. And he said, we never experienced that with our son. It was very troubling. So God uses affliction. It's one of the very things that makes us cry and hurt, and it makes us run to him. In Genesis 16:11, it says, "The Lord heard thy affliction." God hears, man. He hears when we cry. In Genesis 29:32, it says, "He looked upon my affliction." He sees. So I want you to know that sometimes we're going through difficulty in our life. And man, some people think, I don't think the Lord is there. David in the Psalms cries this out quite often, like, "God, where are you at?" But I want you to know something. God sees and God hears. It's very clear. It's all through the Bible. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 7, he says, "And you've seen the affliction and you've heard their cry of the nation of Israel," right? So God is on top of it. I just want you to know that. And the cool thing about this is, like, even in the book of Hosea, like, when God sees their affliction, he says, God says, "And they sought me early." See, when we have affliction in our life, it does make us tend to want to, the pain causes us to cry out. So I guess if I'd make a point here, God's preparations will cause us to pray. God's preparations will, see, he prepared a great whale to swallow him up, right? There was a great amount of affliction that Jonah was facing, and it caused him to pray. So God will prepare difficulty if you and me will cry out to him. And, you know, God just doesn't see and God doesn't just hear. Because that's, we know that's clear as a bell. The reason he sees and the reason he hears is so he can deliver. He's going to act upon what he sees, right? That's exactly what God does. And matter of fact, we just read Exodus where God seen and heard their affliction. Exodus 3:17, it says, "God brings you up out of your affliction." Only God can do that. right? We can't solve it ourselves, but we have a certain amount of affliction in our life. Like Job says, he delivers the poor out of their affliction. See, God delivers. That's right. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, David said. Many. God delivers out of all of them. So just wanted to make a point that Jonah says, I cried by reason of mine affliction. So Jonah prays, Jonah cries. And let me tell you why, because his affliction was so bad. I guess I'd like to give a shout out here too. Don't let it get that bad. Cry out today. Why don't we take the little things to the Lord? Sometimes we have to let things become so disastrous and finally God's got our attention. Let's get a little bit more tender, right? Instead of being so rebellious, man, let's be a little more soft and moldable for God to work in our lives. So back to verse 2, Jonah 2:2, it says, he cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. He heard me, and out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. So I love how he takes the belly of the whale, this great fish, a picture of the devil, man, a picture of his domain in hell. Because Jesus Christ, when we looked over in Matthew chapter 12, it became very clear that, yeah, it was the belly of hell. That's exactly what Jesus took for you and me. I'm going to make a point here at the end on this right here. But look at verse 3. For thou hast cast me into the deep. You know, if you study that word deep in the Bible too, there's a whole body of water before the throne of God, often referred to as the deep, man. There's a dragon that dwells in that deep. Now here we see that, you know, Jonah is in the ocean and now he's in the deepest of the deep. And he said, God, you've cast me into the deep. Hey, and two, God did cast him in the deep. You know, he used a bunch of sailors to do it. God used people to cast him, but God was behind all of that, wasn't he? He said, in the midst of the seas and the floods compassed me about, all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. You know, all these words, the way he's phrasing this, he is drowning. This is a drowning man. That's exactly what's going on here. And he says it several times. Even in verse 5, he'll say, the waters compassed me about, even to the soul. Yeah, he definitely going through the death process, right? Notice it says in verse 4, then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. I am cast out of thy sight. Now, the beautiful thing about Jonah is we've seen this last week that he really pictures Jesus Christ, right? Jesus taught us this in Matthew chapter 12. So we see that he's in the belly of hell, right? Just like Jesus was. And then here, I want you to take notice that he says, I am cast out of thy sight. Do you remember Matthew 27 and verse 46? Matthew 27, 46, Jesus Christ is on the cross and he cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jonah says, I'm cast out of thy sight. Yeah, it's a beautiful picture of what Jesus Christ went through on the cross. The Bible says sin separates us from God. The wages of sin is death. And Jesus Christ took our sin, therefore Jesus Christ died. And we see a beautiful picture of him on the cross. Why have you forsaken me? I want you to know, Jesus Christ knew this was coming. Do you remember when he prayed in the garden? He's praying in the garden in Matthew 26, and he says, God, let this cup pass from me. See, he was 100% God, but also 100% human. The humanness in him would say this, I would like to avoid all of this. Really, this is very difficult. He said, nevertheless, thy will be done. So he knew it was coming. And there's a verse in John chapter 1, verses 10 through 13, and it says this, you know, basically in the middle of it, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. The reason it is so important to receive Christ is because he took our sin, which means he faced God's wrath. He faced God's wrath. The cup of God's wrath, we take communion, right? And we know that that represents the blood of Christ, his brokenness. That's what Jesus did. I mean, people come to the Lord all the time with their religion, with their baptism, with their sincerity, maybe your sacraments, with your beliefs. But the Bible says you got to receive Jesus. He's the one that God forsook for me. Now, if you don't want to receive Jesus and remain in your sin, you are in bad shape. You will face a holy God. You will face God's wrath. But we know this, there's one mediator between God and man. It's the man Christ Jesus, right? That's exactly what 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5 says. So, we are fully aware today that there was divine wrath poured out on sin, and it was poured out upon Christ. This is why God forsook his only son. This is why Jonah says, I am cast out of thy sight, talking to God. That's right. Jesus said the exact same thing. So, hey, praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians says he became sin for us, man. That's exactly what he did. Galatians 3 says he was made a curse for us. This all pictures him. I don't know if you realize it. If there was a theme song that men would sing in hell, you know what hell's theme song is? My God, why have you forsaken me? That's what men scream in hell. This is exactly as Jesus Christ going to hell said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jonah cries the same thing. I am cast out of thy sight. You know, this is really beautiful because all of the elements are here. We do this at the Lord's Supper, but back in Exodus chapter 12, there's a whole set of verses that talk about the sacrificial lamb. Remember, God said, I'm going to slay the firstborn, but what you need to do is a lamb needs to die. Of course, it's a beautiful picture of Jesus, right? So when you go to Exodus chapter 12, the first like 12 verses, what they really say is that, like, you need a lamb. And once you get that lamb, it says this lamb needs to be roasted. That's right. This lamb's going to be cooked. It's going to give its life. Then you get to like verse 7 and 8, and you know what it says? You need to roast this thing. And you know what it says? You roast it with fire. All with fire, right? No water. Just fire. See, what's this picture? It pictures the sacrifice Christ made in hell. Verse 9 actually even uses the word, you know, like burned. You know, it's like you got to really get after it, man. It can't be raw. It's got to really be cooked, right? Verse 13 here would say this, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses wherein ye are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. It will be your substitution, man. That's what this lamb is. I mean, all of it's there, right? This lamb suffered for somebody else. And so this is just Jesus, man. And of course, we remember when these mariners threw Jonah over, they were all going to die until they threw him over. Then they lived because of his death. Just a beautiful picture of Jesus Christ. So we can see it clear as a bell, can't you? Yeah, I am cast out of thy sight. Look at, then he says at the end of verse 4, yet I will look again towards thy holy temple. Guys, I like this. Yet will I look again. Do you see the hope in that verse? Yet will I look again. He says the same thing down in verse 6. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains, and the earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption. I just want you to know that there's some hope here. There's life here. So sometimes I know you feel like you're going through hell. I want you to know you need to have hope. You need to have faith. And you know, Jesus Christ was going to resurrect again. Because the Bible is clear on this, that the grave could not contain him, right? Especially when God cries out for this whale to spit out Jonah, it could not hold him down because God commanded it, right? And so there's hope here. And so, but notice, I think a good practical point here too is God had to take Jonah clear down to the deep. And now he comes out and he's crying out to the Lord. He's praying. He's saying, he says even in verse 7, man, Lord, I remember, right? And then in verse 9, he has a voice of thanksgiving. Like he's crying, calling on the Lord, remembering. Now it's like the devotion is back, right? And so he had to go to the deep for his devotion to be as strong as it is. And so for you and me, it's the same thing. And guys, remember this, to be greatly close to the Lord, to be greatly used of God, you got to go through some hurt in life. You got to go to the deep, man. You got to realize at that point you realize who God is, right? And so Jonah's gone through this, man. Look at verse 5. Let's continue on. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped around my head. See these drowning phrases? He's dead, dying. Notice at the end it says, the weeds were wrapped around my head in verse 5. What's that sound like? Oh, sounds like John chapter 19 and verse 5. They took a crown of thorns. They said, oh, Jesus, you're the king. Mocking him, they took a crown of thorns and placed it upon his head. They put a robe on him. I mean, this is exactly what this pictures. The weeds were wrapped around my head. That's the crown of thorns. See, this is Jesus Christ. Look at verse 6. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Bars. You know, at the Bible, this is a reference to hell, right? Matthew 16:18 says, as the church goes forward, the gates of hell shall not prevail against me. That's right. The earth with her bars, there's bars down there. Matter of fact, in Revelation 1, Jesus Christ even says, he has the keys to hell and death. See, there's bars. There's gates there. And so that's what we see here, is he went to hell. It's a yet, in verse 6, yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption. I don't know if you've ever studied the word corruption before, but the word corruption and resurrection go together. Did you know that? Corruption demands a resurrection. Corruption always in the Bible represents the flesh. You know, Psalms chapter 49 and verse 9 says this, those that live forever shall not see corruption. See, if you can continue to live, you will not see corruption. See, corruption is death. That's exactly what the wages of sin is. What? Yep. The Bible says it's death. Galatians 6 and verse 8 says, if you want to sow to your flesh, you'll reap corruption. That's what the flesh does. Do you realize when you're born to die? That's right. You're born to die. It's corruption. And even in 1 Corinthians 15, the great resurrection chapter in the New Testament, it talks about being resurrected from the dead, sown in corruption. But then it says you're raised in incorruption, the flesh. That's why when we go to heaven, we're getting new bodies, right? I know we want to sustain and protect these right here and right now, but these bodies are doing nothing but dying. And so the beautiful part here is Jonah says, "Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption." I like this. Pictures the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a like a prophecy in Psalm 16, but it's also repeated in Acts chapter 2. I'd like to take you to Acts chapter 2 right now. In Acts chapter 2, and it says in verse 27, Acts 2:27, it's a quote from the Psalm 16 and Psalm 73, but it says in verse 26, therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope because, verse 27, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. This is a prophecy on Jesus, and it's quoting from the book of Psalms. He's seen no corruption. See, the fleshly part of his human life, you know, there was some agony there, right? But this is God in the flesh. And so Jesus Christ, it says he's seen no corruption. Now, Jonah, it's worded a little bit different. He said, yes, thou hast brought me up my life from corruption. Jonah's dying. I actually think, after being here 3 days, I think his body is probably, it was probably decaying. That's what corruption does, right? Corruption's awful. so the fleshly human body. That's why countries that really struggle with a lot of disease and infirmity, a lot of it's because they don't know how to, like, they don't have a good infrastructure, like, for their dead even. They're not burying dead people correctly. If you have a place where a bunch of people die, man, they gotta get them bodies taken care of, because you know what? Corruption, man. It is awful. Here's the beautiful part. Jonah says, yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption. See, he's crying out to the Lord after he came back to life. He's been dead 3 days. He's saying, you brought up my life from corruption. And so us as Christians, we meet Jesus Christ. Did you know the only way for you and me to escape corruption is to know Jesus? He took our place. He took our place for us. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, when you get the divine nature, you escape corruption. You know, what's the only way for me and you today to escape being corrupt, letting our flesh take over? It's Jesus, the mind of Christ, man, right? So Jesus Christ did this for you and me. This verse, chapter 2 and verse 6 of Jonah, pictures Jesus Christ. And I love the prophet Isaiah says this in Isaiah 38. My soul's been delivered from the pit of destruction, man. Delivered from the pit of what? That's right. Corruption. Corruption. So I love how this points to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible's very clear about that. Look at verse 7. Jonah 2:7. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. Do you see it, man? He's alive now, and his soul corruption. And it says in verse 8, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. And now verse 9, check this out. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. How do people justify Jonah not dying? But what's he thankful for here? I'll tell you what, he died and he went to hell, but he was brought out. That's right. He was very thankful. And then he said this, I will pay that I have vowed. What vow? He ran in rebellion, right? Well, let me tell you what happened. Because of his rebellion, God prepared a great fish. They threw him overboard. The fish ate him. He died. 3 days later, he comes back to life, and he's doing some business with the. It's like, God, I remember, man. I'm crying out to you now, and I'm going to pay that I have vowed. You know what his vow to the Lord was, don't you? I'll do exactly what you asked me to do. I'll go now to Nineveh. The pain became, it was so painful, man, at the beginning. He did not want to go to Nineveh. He's like, I'm not going. And he had his reasons. I'm not going to do what you asked me to do. Then the consequences of that decision became more painful, more problematic for him. And then what does he do? He cries out. Now he says, okay, God, I'll do this. You know, Jesus Christ in Luke 22 and verse 42 says, God, could you remove this cup from me? Let's see the cup of suffering, the cup of God's wrath. Jesus says, God, can you remove this from me? Nevertheless, not my will, but thine. Do you see? Basically, it's a good picture here of Jesus Christ too, just saying this, I will go to the cross. This is going to be difficult. This is going to be painful, but I will go to the cross. I will complete what I've started because there's a joy set before me. You know, this is just a beautiful picture of how our Savior really suffered. He says in verse 9, salvation is of the Lord, right? So, hey, remember this, gang. Just remember that the Bible's, man, very clear about vows. You make a vow, make sure you pay that, man. Be men of your word, right? He says clearly in the Bible, do not slack to pay these things. And so Jonah's going to make sure, man, he's about to do this. We see that there's a lot of preparations God did. God will prepare the bad just so we'll pray, right? Preparation for us to pray, for us to seek Him. We're seeing that deep devotion is really going to happen when we go to deep trouble, right? So the deep causes us to be a little more devoted. And then I just want to kind of show you here that, you know, of course, verse 10 says that he vomited Jonah out, right? So, it's a picture of the resurrection. We'll talk a little bit more about that next week, but clearly there was a lot of suffering. I mean, you have to have death before there's a resurrection, right? Or the principle, we probably heard it this way before. You got to have the cross before you get the crown. It's just so true, right? So there has to be a ruin before there is a resurrection. It's been proved over and over and over in this chapter that Jonah died. Jesus died for you and me. We've seen really five real clear pictures of this, right? Maybe six if you want to just say the belly of hell. So Jesus also went to hell. It says in verse 4, he cries out, you know, I'm cast out of thy sight. Yeah, my God, why have you forsaken me? We've seen that he basically says, I will look again. Remember when he says, I will look again towards thy holy temple, like filled with hope. Yeah, Jesus Christ also said this. In John 2, before everyone went to the cross, he told him, hey, you want to destroy this temple? 3 days later, it'll rise. 3 days later. So, yet again, right? So it's another picture of Jesus. Remember the weeds wrapped around his head? We've seen that down there. And Jesus Christ also wore a crown of thorns, right? What about the word corruption? That was a big one where he said, thou hast brought my life up from corruption. I like how he used that word because the prophecy of old was Jesus seen no corruption, man. He was God, right? He was 100% God and didn't leave his soul in hell. His suffering one did not suffer this holy one to see corruption. So we've seen the escape from corruption is the divine nature. So that's the only way we're going to escape it to is through Jesus Christ. Then we see it just at the end here where he says, I will pay that which I vowed. Another great picture of Jesus Christ saying he went forward. He wanted the cup removed, but he says, no, I will go forward with this, God, because it is your will. So gang, Jesus died for us. Jonah died here. All through scripture, man, you will not get around this. Jesus Christ died a horrible death and then resurrected again. His side was pierced, man. He even had some of the disciples, he said, after he went to the Father, he said, you can feel my side here, right? In John chapter 20, they seen his wounds, man. They seen his wounds after he came back to life, which makes me think when Jonah resurrects, you know, what did this guy look like, you know? Isaiah 52 and verse 14 says that Jesus Christ was disfigured beyond even looking like a man. Like he was tore to shreds, man, for you and me. And I think we can see it in this chapter. All the descriptions that Jonah uses is pretty, pretty intense. And so Jesus Christ, we covered it last week, man, he experienced hell for you and me. You're going to get the cross before you get the crown. So there we wrapping up this chapter. We kind of see it, don't we? Practically, we've seen a lot of good things. And don't forget these things. Let's learn from Jonah, but let's may it cause us to look towards the Lord Jesus Christ. God will prepare the bad to get me and you to pray. Remember that. God will prepare bad so that me and you will pray. That's not beyond him. God will take you to the deep to get you more devoted. He surely will because he loves us. And God will allow the ruin. That's what sin in the flesh does so that we can experience a resurrection. That's Jonah, the majority of Jonah chapter 2. I hope you enjoyed, man. God bless. We'll see you next week online.